We turn now to Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 15. And we begin with this chapter, the practical or hortatory part of the book. This is very typical of Paul's letters, of course. He often begins with a theological section and then concludes with a hortatory section. This hortatory section has four parts to it, and it's going to be my goal to finish this hortatory section in 3 weeks. We're going to take verses 1 to 15 of chapter 5 now, and these verses are about the proper use of our liberty. We're going to take Galatians 5, verses 16 to 26 in a couple of weeks. And that those verses are about walking in the Spirit. And then we're going to consider all of chapter 6 in the final session. The first 10 verses of that chapter are about bearing one another's burdens. And the last verses, 11 to 18, are a conclusion to the epistle written by the hand of Paul himself. So as we look at verses 1 to 15 of chapter 5, we're looking at the proper use of the liberty with which Christ has made us free. The word occurs in verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which by which Christ has made us free," and again in verse 13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Two main exhortations that the apostle gives in these verses about that liberty. The first is to stand fast in it. That paragraph runs through verse 6. And the second about not using liberty as an occasion for the flesh, verses 13 to 15. In between those two exhortations, in verses 7 to 12, we have the question, "Who has hindered you from obeying the truth?" So we break the passage up then into those three parts, verses 1 to 6, verses 7 to 12, and verses 13 to 15. Paul reminds the Galatians in verse 1 that Christ has made us free. He refers back to various things in the first four chapters that are associated with our liberty. He doesn't always use the word liberty in these passages, but nevertheless, the passages are talking about liberty. Verse 13 of chapter 3, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us." So that's the first part of our liberty, redemption from the curse of the law. Then in chapter 3, verse 25, this liberty is also defined as, "After faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. We are free from the law as a tutor or a pedagogue to bring us to Christ." This is further described, of course, in the early verses of chapter 4. Then in chapter 4, verse 3, "Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." That is the ceremonial law. And finally, in chapter 4, verse 8, "But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not God's." So we were in bondage. We were in bondage to the curse of the law. We were in bondage to the ceremonial law. We were in bondage to the law as our tutor and pedagogue to bring us to Christ. We were in bondage, according to 4 verse 8, to those who by nature are not God's. Christ has made us free from all of that bondage. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has taken us out from under the tutelage of the law. He has freed us from the ceremonial law. He has freed us from our bondage to false gods. We are now freeborn sons of Sarah. And Paul says, therefore, in chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast in that liberty. Do not surrender it by returning to the bondage of the ceremonial law. If you return even just as you think in your own minds to the bondage of the ceremonial law, this will be also a return to the curse of the law and even ultimately to the gods you once served. To us, of course, the apostle is saying, do not be drawn away from that liberty which you have in Christ into any kind of works righteousness, because works righteousness delivers you into bondage. Do not be drawn away into Pelagianism. Do not be drawn away into semi-Pelagianism. Do not be drawn away into Arminianism. Do not be drawn away into decisionism. Do not be drawn away into any heresy that undermines the truth of justification by faith alone in Christ alone. Do not be drawn away to believe that somehow your works deserve something from God. Never think that. That is bondage. That is that works righteousness which this book so sharply condemns. Always rely on the grace of God. The rest of the verses then in this first paragraph are really supporting material. In verses 2 to 4, the apostle points to consequences of holding to works righteousness. And in verses 5 and 6, he explains why holding to works righteousness has those consequences. In verses 2 to 4, Paul points to four consequences of holding to works righteousness. The first is found in verse 2. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. This is that either or that runs through this whole letter. The apostle has indicated over and over again that you cannot mix faith and works as means of righteousness. They do not go together. They are mutually exclusive. If it is by works, it is not by grace. If it is by grace,